Yo, this is your boy, Mike Burns. What are you doing listening to None Taken?
But I'm also on record being... That also makes me laugh, so there's probably some overlap there.
For sure.
Can I give you a little audio teaser to start the show?
Oh, yeah.
So do you remember this from a few years back? 2 years ago, everybody was talking about Yanni versus Laurel, and there was that audio clip where... I've never heard anything but Laurel, but apparently some people hear Yanni, and like there's two different things. It's like the blue dress thing, right?
I was just going to say that. Yeah. I do remember this.
Yeah. Let me play this and tell me what you hear. If you hear Yanni, I need your help with learning how to hear it.
Laurel. 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 Laurel.
What do you hear?
I hear Laurel. I can't
imagine hearing Yanni. After he's done saying Laurel, I might hear something that sounds like a Y or like, here, listen.
Laurel. Laurel.
I don't know.
I don't hear anything
Laurel,
remotely.
Laurel.
I can't imagine hearing Yanni. I feel like somebody's pranking Laurel. Me. I feel like everybody else in the world got talked to and they're like, listen, this is going to drive Dustin crazy. Like the blue dress, I could imagine like squinting a little and seeing the different things. I can't hear anything other than Laurel.
Yeah, there's no way that's Yanni. There's no semblance of Yanni.
Well, there's another one that's like this.
There is no car.
Oh, that's not it. I'm just gonna play. Remember that one where it tried to do that same joke, but it ended with horse cock?
Yeah,
I thought that was it because I have this clip called Horse Cock and I saw that. But it turns out it's a song.
There is no cock like horse cock. Send your asshole in.
Why? It's the beginning of the show. I'm sorry.
Me and the homies getting silly.
We eat p***s. We inhale p***s. We rub it on our skin.
New York Times, man.
Spicy.
Context of that, you got to be in the Patreon. You'll get it. Oh yeah, so there's a new one. I got a new Laurel Yanni.
Okay.
I think it'll really say a lot about you, like, you know, depending on what you think this sounds like.
Got it.
So
it's like
this
a Rorschach
is
test, but with audio.
Yeah. You can see who's saying this, but for the listeners, I think it's fine to hear it first, and then I'll tell you who's saying it, and that kind of adds a layer to like, whoa, what the fuck? What do you think you hear this guy say?
This thing is wild.
This thing is wild.
No. Come on.
Which part? Did I miss something at the front?
No, it was that part.
What? Jesus. Fury. This thing is wild.
You don't hear something else?
No, I hear this thing is wild.
So this is Mark Zuckerberg.
Right, okay.
So I feel like if you don't know that it's Mark Zuckerberg, it helps. Do you? There's nothing else you think you can say?
What? Jesus, Fury. This thing is wild. What?
I'm not going to say
it. What am I supposed to hear?
Let me see if I have anything of you saying. Hold on. I'll be right back.
Maze.
No.
What?
Listen,
Fury. This thing is wild.
N-I-G.
What? Jesus, Fury.
You don't hear it?
N-I-G.
You don't hear that?
No, I only hear
that. At all,
no.
This thing is wild.
Oh, okay, a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
A little bit. All right. I think I expected to just hit the button after doing that. Well, that's okay. I'll ask you a question then, and then we'll hit the button.
Okay.
It's unrelated to anything, but Punk Rock Bob Foster brought it up. He said, you know, how have they not changed the word for or the term animal husbandry yet? It's not at all what it sounds like. They've already changed rapeseed oil, right? Like they used to have rapeseed oil, but you know, we changed that. Yeah. But like, no.
A lot of our words, our team names have evolved. So we would think
you know what? What do you think rapeseed oil comes from? So they changed that to canola, right?
Right, right.
Hold on.
Comes from seeds from the rape tree, obviously.
Well, I'm gonna just write down the time and rape tree just for no reason.
You probably could have pushed the button there.
Oh, I looked it up. Rapeseed comes from the Latin word rapum. Okay. That's worse. They got worse.
That's worse. It got worse.
Don't let me in his damn house.
Should we hit record?
Yeah, 1, 2, 3.
All right, you ready?
I am ready. Are you recording?
Yes. Start a show.
Let's start a show.
That podcast is filling your head with garbage.
No offense taken there.
Well, it sounds like none taken.
Boom.
The Friday Headlines Roundup edition of None Taken, where every week my good friend Alan wrangles up the headlines and we talk them at you. Because I listen to 13 hours of podcasts a day and Alan watches 3 hours of cable news, so you don't have to. Well, now, get ready to take a sledgehammer to the culture war echo chambers. But first,
so, another Friday is upon us. What'll you be doing, Smithers? Huh? Something gay, no doubt.
Oh, what?
You know, lighthearted, fancy-free. Mothers, lock up your daughters. Smithers is on the town.
Exactly, sir.
Exactly, sir. Alan put a lot of time into nuntakenpod.com, and I think it shows with wonderful links to all the beautiful, beautiful... You know, I like to go over to nuntakenpod.com to watch, and it's very beautiful. What did he say? To watch and to observe.
It's very beautiful. It's
in so many ways. It's beautiful in so many ways. God, I still can't believe he said that. Like, we live in a world where we all like laughed at that and moved on. For a second, imagine if Joe Biden said something like that. Like, we would still be talking about that, but it's just like, what? It's like George Bush. It was like, what? Like, yeah. Yeah, you don't get fooled again. Yeah, we get it. It's who the man is.
Ugh.
Indeed. Anyways, head on over to nuntakenpod.com. It's got so many beautiful, in so many different ways, links that take you to places such as preownedbuttplugs.com, which is where you can get show merch. You don't have to remember that. Just got to go to nuntakenpod.com. You can get our show merch. There's a link to other things. Alan, you want to talk about them?
The link to our Patreon. You get all the fully unedited video over there. Plus, we're doing some extra shows for the patrons.
Oh,
some,
do you want to announce next week?
Tracks. Oh, and next week we have comedian Mike Burns on the show to talk about some of his fun past. We'll be discussing.
Old heads on Twitter may know him better as the secret identity of Dad Boner.
Dad Boner, yes.
If you were on Twitter like at the early stages and those like micro celebrities that popped up, Dad Boner was a must follow, and we're gonna get the whole story of like the books and the TV and like everything,
Inception,
that,
and the whole thing.
Good times.
Also, don't forget to support the people that support us. slickitsdigital.com for all your SEO and marketing needs. slickitsdigital.com
today. But that's only going to be on the Patreon, at least for a little bit. There's going to be a little bit on the Patreon. You guys can listen to it later, but you know, you don't want to be late.
Yeah. So the Burns interview will be on the Patreon for about a week and then we'll release it to everybody.
Yeah.
But we are releasing two bonus episodes weekly, like a pre-show for the Patreon members.
Yeah. The secret track. So there was, the time on the recorder right now says 42 minutes. So whatever that is, subtract what number you're player says right now for you, and the number that you get is how much pre-show secret track we had.
We try to do usually about a half hour-ish.
Yeah,
We put in some spicy clips that we might not otherwise all play on the main show. All things
that I was like, maybe we shouldn't do this on the big show. I mean, we still have plenty. We push the envelope.
If you guys listen to the big all our shows, you know we kind of push the envelope quite a bit.
That's what I mean. So like, this was stuff that would just never be played anyways. So it's just like, if they're going to pay, they're not going to tell anyone. We'll play this thing. You know, these guys are cool. Let's see what you think about this.
They're not going to try to get us canceled.
No. Well, you want to get into it? I think, you know what? This is a nice, easy start to the show. It's not like a fucking dead dog record again.
All right, so let's get to some news. So first headline here, jury of 12 plus 1 is seated for the Trump trial. So I was following
No way they only have one alternate.
So far, yeah.
Okay, but they're going to get more alternates, right?
They're going to get a total of 6.
I thought so. Okay, that was the number I was...
So the morning started with, actually, we lost a couple of jurors.
Well, that's careless of them. Did they look in the pool?
So we went from 7 to 5. There was some reporting early on, and then I don't know if it got quashed or whatever, but I haven't heard anybody talking about it since this happened. But one person apparently, so the questionnaire that the jurors had to answer, like the 42 different questions that they all had to answer, one of them was, who do you work for?
Who's your daddy and what does he do?
Like, who's your employer and what do you do, essentially? Yeah. And so this person responded and said who they worked for and what they do, and that was reported on by various news outlets, and so people were able to identify who this person was.
That's sleazy.
And so she started getting a lot of I guess messages, she said, from friends and family, etc. And so she told the judge, look, I thought I could do this, but I can't handle this.
Whoa.
So she was dismissed. Second guy, one of the questions on the questionnaire was, have you ever been convicted of a felony? He said no to that, and then apparently when researched by the defense, it was found that he actually had been. They didn't give us a lot of details about that situation or why he would have lied about it, but he was also released. So we went from 7 to 5.
I feel like I have so many questions about that, though. Like, what was the felony? I get lying about it because you want to be on there, but that kind of tells you something, too, that's kind of interesting. And
so they didn't disclose what it was. However, it was described, the conversation between this juror and the judge and the lawyers, because I guess they went to the sidebar or whatever. It was described
in the kitchen real quick.
Yeah, it was described as fairly jovial. There were people laughing. So it
wasn't Trump in all the sidebars. I know that was one of the things that one of the stipulations was he got to join the judge in all the jury sidebars.
He initially stipulated that and then he retracted.
Did he get tired of it or what?
I don't know. Maybe he needed a nap or something.
He's like, I got to keep getting up and going. No, fine. Just do it without me. It's fine.
So, yeah, that happened. So those two lost. So we're back down to 5. I was actually a little concerned about halfway through the day that my prediction that we might have opening arguments on Monday would be way off. And then all of a sudden, I see a news update on the Times saying, oh, we got 2 more. And then all of a sudden, oh, we got 12. And then we have 1 alternate. So it seems likely that they will be able to get the other 5 alternates tomorrow.
Yeah, if they don't keep losing the mains.
Yeah, right. You know? But I mean, to go from essentially 5 to 13 is pretty significant. They seem to be making pretty good progress.
It's not as good as going from 6 to 12, if you know what I mean, Alan.
Sure.
You get it.
So that happened this morning. So we could very possibly see opening arguments on Monday. Wow. We'll see what happens tomorrow. But I thought that was deserving of being at the top of the show here.
Yeah. We'll see by tomorrow, or by the listeners by now, we'll know whether that's going to happen on Monday or not. Would it really start that soon? Oh, that soon?
Yeah.
Oh, that's how I said that last time, isn't it? The Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case on whether an obstruction law should have been used to prosecute January 6 rioters. Oh, yeah, this is a big deal. The impacts of this could affect charges against former President Trump and also a lot of January 6th people that have been convicted of their actions on January 6th. So this, most of the people that have this charge also have other charges that they are, that they were being sentenced for as well. But this was sort of like another one tacked on that was more severe, sort of, right? Can you describe what the charge was, the obstruction law? Can you describe the argument that was used by the lawyer? Actually, one thing that's worth saying, because I know this, is that this was tried with multiple judges as a defense, and multiple judges declined it. This is the only judge that's ever said, actually, no, I buy that. And it's not that he buys it on this particular person. It's like, no, that's a reasonable argument for the whole thing. And that's why it made its way all the way up to the Supreme Court, right?
So there were a number of J6 convictees who actually pled guilty to this statute. And so were put in prison for that. Essentially, the statute says you can't obstruct a proceeding, a government proceeding. So if you do that, then you can be held liable.
Yeah, but that seems like that's what that was. What would they? So, what are they saying they intended it to mean?
So the argument is that the inception of this law came back in the 2000s with the Enron scandal.
Oh, yeah, it was. Yeah.
And Enron had been, you know, paper shredding tons of documents that could be used.
So they were saying it was about document.
Right. So
they were saying that it's only been documents.
Right. So it's only been used for that. And so there were a lot of questions. Some of the justices seemed skeptical. Some seemed interested. I think Gorsuch asked, so if somebody were to walk in the building right now and pull the fire alarm to prevent us from continuing this proceeding, would you be able to charge them under this law? Other question scenarios asked similar to that. So as you said, a number of J6 people were convicted using this, about 25%, I think, of the people who were convicted overall. So actually one of them, a judge has ruled that they should be released after serving 1 year in prison.
Oh, wow.
Pending the Supreme Court's ruling on this, because then if you don't count that charge, he would already have served his time. So we're probably not going to hear a ruling on this until June from the Supreme Court. I suspect it will be close. This also does impact the Trump case in that Jack Smith has brought, wherein he says that Trump had done the same thing. So although there are a number of other charges that would still hold up against Trump, this is a pretty big one. So very curious to see what would happen from this.
I mean, it's hard for me to imagine how somebody would argue. I mean, I feel like the fact that it's only been used to in examples like Enron, where they're shredding documents, shows just how unusual it was for Trump to have orchestrated an event like that or encouraged people and not discourage the orchestrators of that event, however charitably you want to phrase that, right?
Yeah, I mean, so actually one of the lower court appellate judges who ruled against this said that oftentimes legislation ends up having an impact that wasn't anticipated when it was first passed. Like, we passed legislation to fix this problem.
Right.
Turns out down the road, oh, it fixes this problem.
Yeah, but too. The same question was answered in both of those, so we don't need to re-legislate that. Yeah.
Right, right. But I mean, this court is very difficult to predict what they're going to do.
It's true. You said Gorsuch was sympathetic to the argument that it was only a document shredding law.
Yeah, I felt like he was
it's about obstructing a proceeding. Like, it's, I mean, is that,
well, I think his question was, at where do we draw the line? What is actually obstructing
proceeding? It feels like a stretch is not providing the documents because you shredded them. That seems like a different crime. I think quite literally, like, the intention had to have been, don't obstruct a proceeding like this.
Yeah, and I would say that this is one of the most important proceedings in our democracy that was attempted to be.
For the first time, we didn't have a peaceful transfer of power. We can never say that again. Like, that sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, and one of the reasons the form of government exists as it is because of that.
And then it dilutes the ability to say that we have that, and then people are like, well, then we should have more fascism. It's like, God damn it. It's your fault in the first place.
All right, moving on. House Speaker Johnson introduced foreign aid bills for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, amounting to $95 billion.
That's coincidence.
With highly anticipated votes this weekend, and Biden says he wants the Senate to pass it, and he will sign it immediately. So there were a couple things that they were going back and forth on. There are a number of right-wing members of the Republican Party in the House who don't want to fund Ukraine. So Johnson was having trouble, you know, getting the votes to pass this. In fact, the last time it came up, they wouldn't even vote on it. One of the amendments that they added to this bill was sort of to placate that right flank,
yeah,
wherein they said that this was a forgivable loan at least partially the amount.
Yeah, of right. So there, but he was like, hey, well, it'll be a loan. Don't worry about it. And it's like, yeah, it's forgivable. So,
yeah. So a large part of the money set aside for Ukrainian support is actually going to the military industrial complex in the U.S., wherein they're going to supposed to get all our supplies back up to where they're supposed to be. About $9 billion is part of a forgivable loan. So the president can, if he chooses, say, we forgive you this loan. And then Congress would have to have enough votes to override a veto from the president.
So it is overridable, even if the president does say it. Which...
So I think, though, that a lot of the far right who are willing to sign this bill with that add-on believe that perhaps by the time this comes up, Trump could be the president. And so they wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't be a problem. So that was interesting. There was also funding.
They should play on that more. Like, oh, you think your guy will be in charge? Well, here, let's put this language in it then.
More funding for Israel. The weird thing about the Israel funding is we're also funding like Palestinian humanitarian relief, which is like supplying the guys that are shooting, blowing up your buildings and then giving you water and food just so you don't have infrastructure.
It's
anymore.
A win-win, Alan.
It's so fucking weird. Anyway, so it looks like it will pass. Senate's likely to sign off on it, pass it.
Well, wait, so you're done with that already? I think you're forgetting a major thing. Don't you remember there was a bunch of border funding in it? No, they made a whole deal. There was a bipartisan deal that went through the Senate already. So the House just had, didn't they include all the border funding?
No.
Why? What? What?
I don't think so.
If they did, would that have sabotaged it?
I think
they would have included Trump would have told him not to pass it and it would have got all the other aid not passed.
Yes.
Okay. So wasn't Republicans' big thing? Sorry, not Republicans. Republicans were trying to get certain aspects of this passed all along. Wasn't MAGA's whole thing on this that like they didn't want to pay for, they didn't want to fund the Ukraine war?
Okay. And they wanted to fix the border problem.
But then
Trump said, hey, I want that issue for my campaign, so don't fix anything.
Like, I'm slightly feigning ignorance here, but I'm like also dumbfounded that they would like they own this is a, that's a cell phone, right? That's a total cell phone. Like you had something that could have accomplished something that you complain about. And meanwhile, you know, your impeachment failed in the Senate because I am upset that is that another subject?
Mayorkas?
Yeah. Is he coming up?
No, I took it out. I figured there was
don't forget what you were going to say, but it bothers me they didn't at least have like a hearing so that people could like voice their concern. And if they looked like clowns, they could look like clowns. They, you know, things were already said in the House. It's a bigger clown show anyway. So, yeah, he did just wipe his ass with it. Like I said, though, huh?
He pretty much did. Yeah.
What were you going to say? Mean, earlier?
So to me, it was the initial killing of that bill when Trump made the phone call, essentially, that was more dumbfounding to me. They'd already done it once, so I wasn't surprised he did it again here. It is ridiculous, as you point out. But the whole thing is that Trump wants that issue for his campaign. That's bottom line.
Yep.
It's going to play well in campaign ads. People who
want he's a desperate man. You know, he's trying not to power when his trials take place.
Yep. Yep. I
mean, you know, what's funny is if it's not the November deadline, it's inauguration day is the deadline. You can try an elected president. They would still go forward with the trials. There's nothing to say that an elected president-elect wouldn't be on trial.
That's true.
It's cutting it kind of close in terms of accountability. I don't know. He says law and order a lot. It seems like he would want to at least see the process go through, don't you think?
No. I don't think so. Okay. I mean, that would put the Justice Department in a pretty interesting spot, and I'm not sure what they would do.
Like the back of a Volkswagen?
To be the case. Just like that. Okay. Exactly like all that.
Right. You want to do this next one, or is it my turn?
It's you. Yeah.
U.S. and U.K.? What? U.S. and U.K. imposed new sanctions on Iran. What the hell? I thought they wanted gas prices to go down. All right. So U.S. and U.K. imposed new sanctions on Iran, targeting drone and steel production in response to Iran's attack against Israel over the weekend. Huh.
So
there's more sanctions to do.
Yeah, they imposed sanctions on some individuals and a corporation who was part of the supply chain for building these drones. It appears that perhaps the U.S. did this in a way to de-escalate the situation. So, hey, Israel, you know, you're already putting the sanctions. You don't have to bomb them back. Like, we're good. They're already feeling some pain.
It's going to be so funny when they do it anyways.
I mean, remains to be seen, but so far nothing has... They haven't...
Yeah, but they said that. They were like, it'll be a time and place of our choosing, and it'll be like Hezbollah in Syria or something, right? Like it'll
or Lebanon.
Be, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I think if it's an indirect target like that, you know, it seems like that would probably be the end of it, so...
IRGC in Syria? Is that,
yeah.
That would have been more accurate? Yeah, anyways.
Yeah.
The external revolution.
All right. The U.S. Reinstated sanctions, speaking of sanctions, on Venezuela's oil sector, saying President Maduro failed to stand by a pledge to hold free elections. So essentially, one of his primary opposition has not been allowed to be on the ballot. And polling indicates that if she were, she would win in the landslide. And then the second person in the opposition who potentially could win as well has also been barred from participating in the election. So the U.S. had initially raised sanctions, given the promise that they would have free and fair elections. And now that they have not done so in the time period allotted, they have decided to reinstate those sanctions that were there previously. So,
not to mention, you know, still making war plans with their neighbors and stuff. But yeah, I mean, that is a different subject, though. But
yeah,
it is part of the context. I don't have anything on that. Is it okay if I move on?
Yeah,
okay.
No, good.
The House passed a bipartisan bill. Bipartisan bill here to tell you all about. So it was 273-147 votes to renew. Oh, this is FISA.
Yes.
Okay, so they renewed warrantless foreign surveillance powers under Section 702 of FISA, despite a narrow failure of a key amendment. We'll explain those words. It was now sent to the Senate, which Senate needs to pass this by, I think, the day you're listening to this. I think this
April Friday. 19th, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Which is funny because just coincidentally, while FISA is going through, which is a major, like, you know, think of like, is the Patriot Act getting reenacted, basically.
Right.
They're like, oh, well, why don't we jam the Senate with an impeachment of a cabinet member? Like, yeah, no shit. They don't have fucking time for it. You know, they've got these four bills that are going through the House and a FISA bill that they have to vote on. Well, anyway, so I think the key words on this are warrantless foreign surveillance. So I like the FISA like triggers me. Like I am naturally in a position of saying like, fuck that.
Mm-hmm.
That said, when I listen to partisan government employees talk about the,
necessity of FISA to do their job.
Well, not just that, like actual events that have been stopped from right. It. And so, okay. The biggest thing that kind of turned me on my opinion on FISA is they modified it. Like the argument was they could just go in and get like this FISA court was a rubber stamp. And then there was no way to stop the FBI from just looking for whatever the fuck they wanted about you because you talked to somebody in another country once on the phone. So they kept listening or something like that. Right. so the key that people that were on like my side of that argument was at least make people get a warrant for it. And their argument is like, we don't have time to get a warrant. All these things are, we found this phone in the battlefield. We need to find out where they're going to, we suspected somebody was plotting this terrorist event. So we raided this house. We found this cell phone. They're doing this now. Like, you know, the clock's ticking. We can't like go call a judge, which I don't know. Like, I still feel like you should have to do that, but it can be persuaded on that subject. The thing that they added to it. Oh, wait, sorry. The reason it became warrantless the way I just described it was because it met an exact tie in the House. So it's a tightrope issue. It's like one vote. And there was somebody who wasn't there for the vote. So like it barely made it to the Senate. They also added other things lately to the FBI's protocol when they run FISA searches. Can you remember what those were? Because that actually made it a lot more palatable to me. It sounds like you can talk about this a little bit more.
So a few things. So people who could sign off on an agent's an agent's ability to access this database.
And what, how is this database? Like, when you talk about this database, there's a server filled with all of this data. How does it get caught? Like,
so it gets caught through various wiretap sort of situations, as well as partnerships with various technology corporations like Meta and Google, corporations who have apps where terrorists might communicate through.
But one of the early things that when this was first getting written was the initial language was sounded like, if you used Wi-Fi out of coffee shop, you're open and vulnerable. I mean, you are anyways, just because of that network, but like you're right. Vulnerable to their search. Like those people were obligated to provide that data, and they rewrote it because people didn't want to pass this. So they rewrote it to get rid of that. So that's an improvement.
Right.
But the other thing too, that like they would get like incidental data on you because they were looking at someone else that you talked to, and it used to come up in the search, all of that shit. And they rewrote their rules to say you can only get the search for the exact target you're looking
for. Okay, so let me explain that.
Okay.
So essentially what would happen was you're an FBI agent. You find a name that you want to look up because they had some communication with somebody you suspect is part of a terrorist network, whatever the case might be. You just type that into the search bar and boom, you get whatever information the FBI has on that person's name or phone number or email address, whatever the case might be. And that included numerous databases, including the FISA database. Now it does not. If you're going to query the database, you have to specifically choose the FISA database. It won't be included in all the other databases that they have. So that was changed. The other thing was previously there were approximately 10,000 people at the that sounds wrong, but I believe that's the number I read. 10,000 people who could sign off on people, an agent having access to this database, and they've reduced that number to 550.
Okay.
So gatekeepers.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, reduced.
Okay. So it used to just be that you could just get this guaranteed to get signed off because you could just shop for someone that would say yes.
Well, you wouldn't even have to. You could just go to your superior and be like, can I do this? And they'd be like, yeah.
Chances are they were on the list, right? Yeah.
Right. And to your point, so the thing that's at issue here is that the FBI isn't supposed to surveil Americans, right? However, when Americans get caught up in, because they had some communication with somebody in a foreign country, now that American's data is in this database. And so that's still important information. And as, you know, they've said they've been able to stop, you know, terrorist plots, et cetera, because of their access to this information, because they can get it quickly. The amount of queries that they had in this database, the other problem with having to go to a judge for a warrant, there's just so many queries that are done on a daily basis. There's no way court could handle all of them. So that was part of a problem as well.
Reasonable. Like I'm a reasonable person. Like, okay. All right.
Yeah. So, if the warrant requirement, so there was an amendment to add the warrant requirement to this. If that had passed, it probably wouldn't have gotten a sign off in the Senate. And as you said, it was pretty dramatic. It was 212 to 212 was the vote. And one person shifted their vote like right at the end.
Really?
So it was a squeaker for sure, as you said.
Squeaker? So like squeaker. My chair?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, it won't do it while I try. Okay, fine.
Anything else you want to talk about?
No, I think we touched on it enough. I don't like it, but... Oh, man, that's off. I'm torn.
We both listened to that.
Yeah.
We both listened to that same podcast. One of the other things he did bring up was the FBI intelligence agencies don't like the fact that now it has to be renewed every 2 years.
Yeah, which like was a win for me, I would imagine. Right. But I see.
So it used to be every 5 years. The intelligence community has been asking for it to be just limitless. And then if Congress wants to do something about it later, they can choose to do that. But it doesn't have to be like ratified every couple years or 5 years as it used to be. So they're not happy about that provision, but that's what it took to pass it. So in 2 more years, we'll be having this conversation all over again about whether or not this is something we want to keep in place.
So like when I listened to that podcast, the guy who is an employee of the state that wants this system was like, that's not even 2 years. Isn't even enough time to give you like good data to work with to see if you should renew it or not. And I'm like, Yeah, fuck you on that one. Like, I'm kind of okay. Like, you know, I bet it's annoying to you to have to. I'm sorry. Does it bother you that you have to keep checking if you can still spy on me? Go fuck yourself. Wait, hold on. Wait, can we have somebody say that?
The intensity.
Go fuck yourself.
Oh, I have a better.
The intensity of stupidity that is looking back at you.
That one works too.
Go fuck yourself.
That work. I mean, I tend to agree that, you know, things like the Patriot Act was a huge overstep of government. We gave away a lot of our individual rights when we passed that. This to me seems like a pretty decent compromise for these agents to be able to do their job and have access to information that could be life-saving for Americans or anybody really. So yeah, I don't know. I came into this question not being super happy about it, but after doing some reading and listening to that,
that's how I feel too. Yeah. It's more palatable, but I still would rather not. Yeah. But I suppose I understand.
Huh? Yeah, for sure. All right. A federal judge refused to dismiss Hunter Biden's firearms case, denying arguments.
He left it in a trash can, Alan. It can happen to anybody. Maybe he doesn't have a podcast drawer.
Denying arguments that the prosecution is politically motivated. So if you recall, there was a they had an agreement to essentially let Hunter Biden off the hook for this stuff. And then it kind of blew up in the end, and they removed that agreement. And so he was appealing, or his lawyers were appealing, saying that this was politically motivated. And the judge said, no, not going to do it. So not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
No, wouldn't. Okay. Yeah, why not?
All right.
I mean, I think you should. The normal person would have to face those consequences. So it's fine.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about what the actual litigation is about, which is pretty wild to
Okay, that isn't about him leaving his gun. I thought that was the one about
him buying a gun and checking the box that he wasn't using illicit drugs. Yeah. And also being on,
I was about to create a lot of evidence against me should that ever be the case. And I won't look, the gun's established. I can't tell you what else is off camera here.
I'm sure it's all good.
Right, Saul Goodman, FBI launched a criminal probe into the collapse of the Baltimore Key Bridge, including boarding the ship and turn it on out. Is that from Beastie Boys? Board your ship and turn it on out. I think so.
That sounds familiar. Yeah.
Something Intergalactic. What I'm all about. Right? Yeah, it does. I think it is on Intergalactic. Yeah. Good job with your lyrics. They boarded the ship that caused the collapse. They boarded the ship? The ship's underwater.
I guess partially. Maybe they use divers. I'm not sure.
That's weird. Do you still call it boarding? It sounds like exploring. They explored the ship.
They've recovered two additional bodies of the six that were thought to be lost.
Oh.
They are investigating the ship, let's say, to determine if there was any sort of criminal activity. It seems like a formality. For all that we know, as far as reporting, this was just bad luck. You know, this was something going wrong and the backup things didn't come online fast enough.
I'm glad that they're looking into it, right? Oh, yeah, it's from rhyming and stealing.
Right. Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, so that's from License to Ill, right?
I think so. It's got the airplane. Yeah. Which one has the airplane?
Yeah, License to Ill.
Okay.
So I think it's worth being investigated. I don't know if there's going to be much there, but at least we should check, you know?
I agree. This has been open the whole fucking time. God damn it. Shit. I keep doing that.
All right. These
you know who would have been mad if we didn't correct that?
Who?
Tim is a big Beastie Boys fan.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm a big Beastie Boys fan.
Well, that's true. I mean, you were pretty good with your lyrics there. Is Tim a big Beastie Boys fan, or am I thinking of somebody else I used to work with? Anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
I would be surprised if he's not.
Yeah.
I think he probably is.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a couple of headlines here from Australia. Sydney police said they're treating a knife attack at a church that injured four.
Just do both of these.
Okay. As a terrorist act. And then six people were killed in a knife attack at a Sydney shopping mall before police shot the attacker. Officials ruled out terrorism and said the attacker had targeted women.
Oh, it's not terrorism. So, he was targeting women, Alan. The fuck does that mean? Jesus Christ. What?
So these headlines may seem like complimentary, but they're really two very different.
They happened within 24 hours.
They did. I think it was like Monday and Tuesday or Sunday, Monday. They're ahead of us, right?
Oh, I see. Yeah.
All right. So the first one at the church.
That was, I opened up my Instagram to take a shit in the morning, and I was like, oh, I'm going to close Instagram and teach that algorithm. Please don't start my morning with watching a priest get stabbed. It's just really, like it's not a lot to ask for. Puppies, yeah, kittens, dope. I follow a lot of things. I like every Vishla I see on Instagram. You just start my day off with shit. You don't have to make sure I stay on the app, you fucking idiots. Goddamn algo.
So they are ruling this as a terrorist attack. They think it was religious-based, although they haven't released. We don't know what the religion of the attacker was. This bishop at this church, I guess, is somewhat controversial. He's very popular. They have a huge online audience as well.
He's popular with the Ortho Bros, right?
Right, yeah. And so while this was happening, it was being live-streamed because they live-stream all their sermons.
What Orthodox church, or what church was he? It's okay.
Not Armenian. It's
Was it Armenian?
Might have been Armenian. I don't think it's Armenian,
though. Well, I'll look it up. You had a thought you were going with.
Assyrian.
Assyrian, not Assyrian, right? Is it Assyrian with an A? Assyrian. Assyrian?
It says Assyrian. It says Assyrian Orthodox Church.
Wow. Oh, they're going back in time. Okay.
Yeah.
Speaking of back in time, did you ever notice it was Twin Pines when he crashed his DeLorean into the tree, and then later on in Back to the Future, it was the Lone Pine Mall?
Oh. I don't think I ever did. I haven't seen that in a very long time.
It's not a Twin Pine anymore because he hit it with his car. Because
it couldn't be. He took it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense.
They didn't fix that like the photograph. Go on with the story about the stabbing. It was brutal. I'm sorry.
Okay. All right. So the second one, this guy was, according to his father, was a schizophrenic. He had had issues before where they'd confiscated knives from him. The father in the interview was clearly pretty upset and distressed. He had called the police before on his son, concerned that the son might harm him. Hmm. And as the headline says, He avoided men and mainly attacked women. I think he attacked one man in this.
The guy at the mall?
Yeah, the security guard.
How would you not call that a terrorist attack? Like,
well, they're saying it was
mental illness. Well, wait, actually, I don't... you think there was mental illness involved when he stabbed people in the fucking mall? Like, and we just don't call that terror. What do you call it when a guy goes to, like, a supermarket and shoots every black person he sees, and it happens to be a supermarket that he chose because it's frequented by black customers? That sounds pretty motivated, and I think they're pretty quick to call that white terrorism or whatever, right? You can call this guy a fucking terrorist. He's causing terror with an agenda. I mean, I assume he has an agenda, fuck women or something like that. And, you know, he's fucking living in Kekistan, you know, incel or whatever he fucking wants to use to comfort himself as a nickname? Nomaker? What's that word?
Oh, yeah. No.
No, it's not nomaker. Well, anyways. And then he goes
moniker.
I got all the letters were right. You know, whatever monikers you want to take. But then he goes and kills a bunch of women in public. I mean, that sounds a lot like terror.
So I think that we would classify it here in the U.S. as a hate crime. I don't know that Australia has that same sort of standard.
Well, what does it help to call it a hate crime? Like, I mean, what? Tell me the difference in the effect from going out there and targeting a group of people and killing them and doing it with the motivation of causing mass terror. Like, if it's a group of people, it's causing mass terror. Like, you don't have to call it a hate crime because then it runs you into a bunch of other trouble where you're like, don't you kind of hate people when you go out and kill them?
Like, so, I mean, in the U.S., when we define something as a hate crime, the penalties can be more severe.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
Right.
I don't think that helps you. Like,
I don't see a reason to split hairs on whether this is an act of terrorism or something else. Clearly, this guy was mentally disturbed and went to a public place and harmed a lot of people.
Right. Well, I feel better hearing that. I was like, why would they call it that?
I mean, there are still people in the hospital who were injured, and hopefully they make it out okay. But he's, you know, damaged a number of people's lives. It's horrible. It's a horrific thing. Yeah. And I didn't actually see a lot of coverage on this here, at least in American media. So I kind of wanted to talk about it
there. Yeah, no, I'm glad. Well, I'm glad you did. Just because I turned it off of my Instagram right away doesn't mean that it wasn't something that was...
It was an important story.
Yeah, I just don't want it at 5:55 a.m. Like,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. All right, you want to hit number 11?
Macron? Yes. French President Macron announced that global donors pledged $2.1 billion in humanitarian aid for Sudan as the African nation hit 1 year of civil war. Happy anniversary, guys. Here you go. How's that RSF going? What's going on there?
RSF is continuing to
lose ground?
Well, yeah, but they're essentially committing terrorist attacks in Darfur. Oh,
so we can call this terror.
As they did before.
So not just women.
Not just women. I feel like this story has kind of just gone off the radar with everything happening in Ukraine and Palestine and Yemen. But this has been a pretty horrific war. The amount of people displaced and the amount of people who are at severe risk of starvation is just massive. We're talking in the millions of people here. All for these two guys to essentially have a dick measuring contest. So it sucks. I'm glad that there's some aid going there. It definitely needs to. Yeah. I mean, the U.S., I think, contributed something like a couple hundred million to this. To date, we've sent like about $1 billion in aid to Sudan. And I mean, I just feel like the story's gotten somewhat lost in the overall news cycle.
It does. But I mean, not to say, but you know, you say you started listing off places where there's conflict. You didn't mention, what Burma used to be called, or what
Myanmar?
Myanmar. Yeah. Like, there's, I mean,
that's true.
But I guess my point isn't like shame on you. My point is like we should care about all these things, and there's only so much bandwidth. And
I mean, Myanmar, the Dominican Republic.
I guess I just Syria, mean like I listen. Like, this one pisses me off a lot. I listen to anti-war radio every morning, and ever since October 7th, it's just been, you know, it's 25 minutes, 20 minutes long news show, and it's just all about Israel and Gaza, and it's just like I don't come to you for this. Like I come to you for a countercultural response to the war machine. Like I value your opinion on this, but when you like, I start skipping ahead when he puts in like a niche story. He's like, there was a story he had today where he's like, and in my head, this is a sad story, but this is replacing talking about Sudan, talking about Myanmar, right? It's called anti-war for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
I start skipping ahead and I was like, man, I've already skipped like 2 minutes. You're still talking about, you know, a kid that survived a drone strike and then they shot his ambulance. Horrible. Like a good example, but like nobody tuned into antiwar.com because they didn't know that shit is happening. Right.
Sure.
So it's like, no,
know your audience.
Like I'm giving you, you're giving me a short news update in my morning. Like I don't need that. And it's just, I guess what I'm getting at is so many people are, I mean, no offense. Our show is called None Taken. You are right to be concerned about what's upsetting you, but it's annoying to me, and I'm fine just saying annoying, and maybe there's a better word. It's annoying to me that just our obsession just locks onto Israel and Gaza. And I'm suspicious of not that everyone has an ulterior motive to that, but that we're all just susceptible to the outrage engine that's out there. And the outrage that's meeting us is more focused on that because some people have an agenda on that. I'm not saying you don't. You are valid to care about that. But there's a percentage of your day that you're being sent these inputs, and most of those inputs are covering that. Well, there's a lot of other stuff going on, like Alan said with Sudan, right? Like I was saying with Myanmar. And like we just don't have time for that, and we pretend like we still care about Ukraine.
Yeah, it does suck. And the way the news cycle works, especially with, you know, 24/7 cable news, they're going to play what's going to get the most clicks, what's going to get the most eyeballs. And so, unfortunately, that's how the system works, and things fall through the cracks like this.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you included it.
Cool. All right. European Parliament approved migration reform. Hey, how about that?
What about?
They actually have a parliament that does stuff.
Isn't that
That's cool.
Wow.
Expected to go into effect in 2 years, seeking to improve its asylum process and distribute responsibility.
You know what? Are we going to do the same thing we do with data privacy and just follow them in like 6 months? Like, we have a new cyber bill that went through. It's exactly like Europe's.
I wouldn't be mad if we did. I would love to see any sort of movement on immigration.
I agree, actually. Short of just dumb shit like building a fucking wall, like I think that's a good idea.
So they've done a couple of things here. So the countries that are on the sort of more eastern side of Europe have had more of an impact by immigration than countries more to the west. So places like Greece, etc. So what they're saying is either as an EU member, you either have to help take in some of these refugees or you have to provide support to the countries that are.
Okay.
So everybody has to take some responsibility here. They've also done a few things to improve the process so that people who request asylum, They kind of have a quick sort of triage. They look at it and they're supposed to decide quickly whether or not their asylum claim potentially can go forward. If it's unlikely that that would happen, they don't get entrance into the EU. Okay. Or they get deported. There were a couple of other measures. They added personnel to help immigration process to go more quickly. So I think right now it can take like a year. They're trying to get it down to 6 months, something like that. So it seems like these are decent reforms, and all EU members appear to be okay with this. So, man, like I said, I just wish, I mean, I'm not saying the EU is a super functional government, but geez, we can't pull off that sort of a thing here, at least currently. So
you started mentioning member countries of the EU.
Yeah.
And it got me curious. Is Turkey in the EU?
Yes.
I don't think they are.
I think they are.
I Googled it while you were talking.
Well, they're definitely in NATO.
I know they're in NATO. They were given candidate status in 1999, and they're still not a member.
Oh, that's true. I see it here.
Okay.
Not officially part of the EU. One of the EU's main partners, but
they're a partner force. Cody taught us all about partner forces.
They're members of the European Union, Turkey Customs Union, but they're not part of the EU. I assumed they were.
I think that Turkey's biggest argument for being a member of the EU is that they have a Muslim immigration problem.
I mean, it does seem
we're
like
just like you.
Simpatico there.
Yeah. We're just like you.
One of us. It
kind of fucks up the map being like way down and over. You know, if there wasn't a Cold War, would people consider Russia European more? I mean, I get it, but it goes really far east. I mean, that's,
yeah,
you're really changing the map there, though.
They really, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
My turn.
No, I think it's my turn.
Okay.
No, it is your turn.
Sorry. What number is it? I'm lost.
13.
13. The NOAA. Mm-hmm. The NOAA confirmed that coral around the world is experiencing a fourth mass bleaching. Oh, anal coral bleaching. Due to stress from elevated water. I said it like it was from Baltimore. Water.
Yeah.
Get a water ice.
Or
that's
Philly.
Philly. Yeah. Get a water ice. Okay. So the coral's doing an anal bleaching. I think that My first thought when I heard that, because I've heard about this in the news lately, it's amazing to me that, like, so bleach is a compound, right? Like, bleach is like a cleaning kind of. So it says so much about our understanding of the ocean that we describe what happens to coral as bleaching, which wasn't a word before man created chemicals that led to the altering of the environment that has led to coral die-offs, where we go, hey, it looks like it got covered in bleach, that thing that we invented. Like, I don't think I've closed that circle enough. Like, I think I've led it enough. People get what I mean, but do you get what I mean? Like, it's weird.
I understand your argument. I don't know that, because
I'm sure it happens when water temperatures, blah, blah, blah. I get that.
I feel
that.
Like you can use,
we didn't bleach. Use a different, that I don't, do you think that word was older than the chemical?
Yeah. I feel like you could use bleach in different contexts.
Okay. I'm going to look up the age.
You could
of the
say
chemical.
Like that, you know, the, all of the nutrients were, no, that'd be leached though.
Yeah. So do you want to talk about how that process happens? Do you know that? I can talk about it. Holy shit. Bleach was used in 1150 to 1500.
Yeah.
1200.
Comes from German.
Oh, sounds German
to Old English to English.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. So
I still made a good point, but it was factually inaccurate.
Yeah, I understand. So last year was the hottest year on record for the oceans, just overall. And this year we're bound to beat that record, it seems.
Yeah. Everyone knows that. But let's talk about what happens with the corals. So they got little algaes that live in there and give it its color, and then the algae moves out because it gets too hot for them, or they die, and then they lose their color.
Right, and then the corals tend to disintegrate,
like the kid's name in The Walking Dead.
They tend to die, and
because they don't got their symbiotic relationship with the algae.
Yeah, and coral reefs are a huge part of. A lot of ecosystems in the ocean.
Little fish eat out of that. And then it also gives them like a place to hang out where sharks don't get to. And
they can hide. Yeah, I know. a significant amount of ocean life revolves around reefs in one way or the other. And so to lose these would be pretty horrific for the environment. We've had similar things happen before back in, I want to say like 2014, 2015, and then back in the 90s as well.
You're right.
So we've sort of been, on this for a while. There have been, you hear those sirens?
That's why I said your ride's here. Yeah. Other things like in Australia, people only use coral safe sunscreen. And like we do it here too, but it's like, okay, sure, Natasha.
Well, not only that, there have been people who've sort of tried to innovate and like create scaffolding that replicates
coral. That's a good idea. I mean, I guess it's
in the ocean.
It's a good stopgap.
I mean, it's not.
Oh, wait. No, didn't they create high temperature tolerant coral in a lab that they're like trying to get to populate in these reefs? That's a thing. I know that's a thing.
That is a thing. I don't remember how
it's a shitty that... like, okay, well, at least we can do that. Thank God for humanity. Yeah. You know?
But I know there was a group of people who were actually putting out like structures by these reefs to try and have habitat for these creatures that normally would
not just like sinking old battleships and calling it a reef. Like, yeah, I understand.
Other things. Yeah. All right, we should move on.
Okay.
Unusually heavy rain in the arid Gulf states caused widespread flash flooding, resulting in the closure of Dubai's airport.
Tell me you read the article, because all I've seen is the memes, and I'm like, this can't be real. This is everybody says it's because they were doing cloud seeding.
That's the conspiracy theory. That's not true. If cloud seeding worked this well, there would never be a drought anywhere on this planet again. They essentially got a year's worth of rain in one day. Which is crazy. As it says, I mean, we know it's a desert. They get very little rain. They have been seeding clouds, but that has a very minimal effect. There's no way you could see the cloud to cause this sort of event to happen. Otherwise, we'd probably, do it somewhere else. The pictures and video are absolutely crazy. Like, you see the airport in Dubai. It looks like planes are landing on a lake. Like, it's not deep, but just the picture, it looks that
way. Right. It looks like you landed in, like, the Everglades. Like, it's, like, 2 feet deep or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And apparently Emirates Airways, which is one of the major...
Fly Emirates. Airways,
it flies out of there. And they're typically... I mean, everything I've heard or read about them is that they're a really good airline. Kind of expensive, but really good.
Yeah.
They completely, like, fell apart in this whole thing. So they're...
Yeah, but it's not, like, Southwest not updating their website. Like...
No. But it would seem like a company that size would have like emergency plans in place if something went down.
Right.
And they did forecast this event.
Really?
They knew it was coming. But there are people sleeping in the airport. There are people who are like, I can't get any food. They gave us a little bottle of water. They won't tell us when we can fly out.
Whoa.
People have been there for over 24 hours. And people are like going off on the people at the little...
Kiosks at the
ticket counter.
Team America, like Durka Durka? Like, was it kind of funny to watch, or was it?
No,
it
wasn't funny. It kind of sucked actually, because you just feel like I understand the frustration of those people. I also understand what it's like to be behind the counter when you're dealing with that.
And, yeah,
like,
I know.
There's
right?
nothing
yeah.
you can do to fix it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Right.
So it was uncomfortable, at least from
and it's perspective. A muscle you have to exercise to like properly respond in those moments. And it's like, look, I'm pumped. Like I need a little bit. Like I gotta rest before I can go deal with a fucking human like you again. You say it's a conspiracy about the cloud seeding?
Yeah.
Atlanta didn't ever burn.
Atlanta was a false flag operation. And Abraham Lincoln was a crisis actor.
We haven't done that in a long time.
It's been a while. Yeah. There were a lot of people being like, oh, it's because of seeding clouds. Like, if seeding clouds work that well.
No, come on, man. You really think that, like, they haven't been, like, okay, hold on, though. Someday that will happen, and someone's going to say, oh, well, if that worked, they would have done it, and this would be the time that they have. And this is where all the people with the money is that do weird things, like make maps of the ocean, or the world in the ocean. Like, isn't that, haven't they been trying to do this? I mean... I'm not saying I buy it. I'm asking you intentionally. Like, I was looking forward to you talking about this, but
they've been seeding clouds for, I want to say, over a decade there, trying to get additional rainfall because water is a huge problem for them. And so every scientist I've read in news reports said that there's no way that could be caused by cloud seeding. Now, you could argue that there were scientists that were saying a lot of stuff about COVID back in the day too that turned out to not be so true.
Sure.
But at least from now, what I've read and how I understand that technology to work, it seems impossible for that to be the reason that this happened.
Okay.
It seems more likely that it's El Nino and just the warming of the planet that's causing it.
I never heard him talk about El Nino over there. It's not like Al Nino or something.
All right, should we move on?
Sure.
I have a new segment. It's called China is Asshole.
China is Asshole. Oh, wrong button. Hold on. It's down there.
China is Asshole.
All right.
All right. I think it's you.
I don't think so. Okay. House Select Committee report suggested that China is exploiting the U.S. fentanyl crisis for strategic gain and recommended countermeasures. Does this have to do with that thing, that video I saw where they were saying that there's daily flights coming from China with fentanyl on it? And like that seemed...
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see that video.
It was from this select committee. Yeah.
Okay. What this report details is that the Chinese Communist Party not only they subsidize companies that manufacture fentanyl or the precursors to this fentanyl by giving them tax credits. So a lot of those precursors are sent stateside, and then they use that to make the fentanyl. They're also part owners in some of the companies that manufacture fentanyl. And apparently those tax credits were not publicly known until this report came out. So while Biden and Z had a conversation, a month ago, and they did discuss this.
Yeah.
And he said, no, we're not doing anything like that. This report completely contradicts what he said. It seems like they are deliberately contributing to this problem we have on our streets.
People on the streets.
On the streets.
Wow. Okay. That was, I don't have a lot of faith in the House Select Committee. Sorry. You forgive me. Yeah. If I looked at the members of the House and thought that I needed to hold him with reverence. Yeah. So when I see these things come out, I'm like, oh, it's just, that Comer guy and people like him, people of his ilk.
Well, as of now, I haven't seen anybody in the administration come out and say this,
which they normally are quick to do. And it's been about a day since that came out. Right.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting. U.S. Your turn.
Major U.S. airlines urged the Biden administration to stop approving U.S.-China flights, citing anti-competitive policies imposed by China on U.S. carriers.
What does that mean?
So essentially, when the pandemic hit, China restricted a lot of its airspace, wouldn't allow U.S. airlines to fly in and out of China, which made sense then. But they haven't relaxed a lot of those rules since. Also, China is able to fly over Russia and take a more direct route to other locations. But since the Ukraine war started, U.S. airlines can't access that airspace. So it takes them longer to get there and back. And the Biden administration had allowed, I think it was 50 flights a week for each airliner to the U.S. So these airline companies, as well as some unions like the pilots union, I think, all signed off on this saying, hey, we need you to crack down on this. We can't compete the way that they're doing this because it's anti-competitive, essentially, what China's doing.
Wow. How do you buy that? I'm processing that.
I think it seems like that's true.
Okay.
So
we have say over whether those flights, so the flights going to the U.S. or coming out of the U.S. have to follow the same rules, right?
Yes. Yes.
Well, yeah, we should not have a different set of rules for China.
Right. So either China plays fair.
Do we have other accounts? Do we have other countries that we approve that stuff for?
Yeah. Every other country almost.
No. So they approve those flights where it doesn't have to go over Russia. Oh, but nobody else is inconvenienced. Yeah. I think I think that seems reasonable.
Yeah. This next one, a more China asshole. Okay. You want to hit that
Chinese
one.
Exports threaten Biden's industrial agenda. And then Alan has a link to the New York Times.
So we talked about this a little bit on the show last week. So this is April 18th. This came out. So essentially what they're saying is China's dumping all their cheap exports on the market.
Yeah. But that is such an old thing though.
Sometimes even at a loss. And they're crowding out, other countries' goods. So not new, although this article was just written today. Today's the 18th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it just came out today. So I thought we should include it here. Biden said, hey, I'm not looking for a fight with China. I'm looking for competition and fair competition. Biden obviously has invested a lot in, you know, manufacturing, which we'll get into it shortly here, in the U.S. But China's actions here are becoming more and more of a problem. The Biden administration has leveled some more tariffs against Chinese products, but the industry is asking for more. So
I get that. So I guess both things can be true, right? Like, it's always been true that China has flooded the export market with cheaper goods, driving down prices that Americans can't compete with, right?
Well, at least for most of our lifetime, yeah.
Yes, you're right. Not always, yeah. But like since the 90s, right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. But it could also be true that they kept growing because they started to have an internal or a domestic market for those goods.
And, but now that's fallen off.
And they're still growing because their economy is based on growth in that way.
Yeah.
Their GDP is already suffering. Okay.
Their domestic market has fallen off as far as people feeling comfortable and buying these types of goods, based on the way their economy has been going. So they're having to dump all this, or not having, they are dumping all this product on international markets, which is, you know, is messing with pricing essentially.
Okay. That's interesting. So it is different in a new way.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a similar practice to what they've done for many decades, but they have different reasons to do it now.
Okay. Well, this next one's yours, even though you mostly did that one. I read it.
Apple sent alerts to specific iPhone users in 92 countries that it believes with high confidence are being targeted by mercenary spyware attacks, primarily Pegasus, the software from Israel. So it doesn't detail how many people they sent this to. And apparently this is not the first time that they've done this. If you look at their support page, they've been doing this for years. And when they send out these alerts, they don't explain like where it may have come from or why they think this person has it.
Where did you come from? Cotton Eye Joe?
They don't want to indicate to these hackers like how they're tracking them or finding them. So they give very little information. They just say, hey, you should take this seriously.
Sources and methods.
You've been infected.
Huh. Is that something we'll start seeing more of? Apple's always been on the cutting edge of security in terms of, you know, domestic cell phones.
Yeah, I mean, they keep their sandbox pretty tight for a reason, right?
I don't think I don't think you want to associate sand in a box, Alan. They keep their sand beaver real dry and tight.
No, what I'm saying is that their platform is very closed. Unlike Android, where you can get, you know,
because you know what they say, Alan,
doors and things like that.
Loose lips sink ships. Yeah, I talked over you saying back doors too, but I'm gonna control myself.
So yeah. All right, let's move on.
All right, fine.
I'm gonna lean towards Bussy.
Tesla requires shareholder votes to re-ratify. What? Oh, thanks, bud. Do you want to keep reading? Tesla requested shareholder votes to re-ratify CEO Elon Musk's 2018 pay package. It was voided by a Delaware judge and potentially worth $56 billion. And the other thing they're going to force them to vote on, to relocate the firm's incorporation to Texas. So they're trying to move the firm's incorporation to Texas. They're trying to get Elon his payback after a judge in Delaware put a stop to it, but they're going to make sure shareholders vote on it. And shareholders means millions of people or thousands.
Yes. All right. So a couple things. So this lawsuit was brought by a shareholder in Delaware. A lot of corporations are incorporated in Delaware because they have very good, like, corporate structure, very good.
Whenever Joe talks about being like, I'm just a politician from Delaware, I'm like, it's corporations. Like,
yeah, no, it's a massive, it's a huge amount of corporations that are registered in Delaware. So essentially what the lawsuit alleged and what the judge said he believed was true is that essentially Elon Musk, there was a panel on the board that was to determine CEO compensation. And that panel was essentially in Elon's pocket. So it wasn't like they were negotiating with Elon, it was almost like they were like helping him come up with his compensation, as opposed to being adversarial and actually negotiating for the shareholders. And so that's what why the lawsuit was brought. Elon saying, well, now I don't want to be in Delaware anymore. If you guys are going to do shit like this, I'm going to incorporate in
a lot of people Texas. Have said, I don't want to be in Delaware anymore.
Yeah. So he's going to move to Texas. Okay. And so now they're going to have a vote among shareholders to see. However, you said that there are a lot of shareholders. That's true. However, there are some shareholders which have huge, huge amounts of shares. And so Elon is obviously going to be lobbying those individuals or those,
because it's total number of shares or shareholders that wins.
Every share has a vote, right?
And so but is every share shares. Weighted by every share? So if you have a million shares, you have, okay, got it.
Right. Yeah. So likely the people that have those big blocks of shares are probably buddies with Elon.
No. So yeah, this is fast. So he's getting his money. He's moving to Texas. That's fine. We don't have to talk about that much more. Yeah.
He's going to be a centibillionaire. I didn't even know what that was, but I guess it means 100 billionaire.
Well, if you listen to the pre-show or the secret track, you learned another new word.
Moniker?
No, moniker was from this one.
Oh, yeah.
What did I learn recently? It was miscegenous. Miscegenous, yeah.
Miscegenation.
Yes, yeah. Not the same thing. Your turn to talk.
The Biden administration announced up to $6.4 billion in grants for Samsung under the CHIPS Act to expand its chip production in Texas as part of a broader effort to bolster U.S.-based semiconductor production. So we had an article on the show, I think, last week, where they were bringing in Taiwan Semiconductor and giving them money, also Intel. And now Samsung's getting in on it too. They're building a bunch of stuff in Austin, Texas as well. I think I already said this, but it's kind of nice to see legislation doing something, you know, like they're, you know, not only did they, sign it, but it's actually happening. Things are actually happening, which seems like a rare event these days.
Yeah.
I think this is a good thing. It's bringing a lot of great jobs to the U.S., in places where, you know, they've seen a lot of decline of industrial production. And so I think overall this is a good thing. And more diverse our supply of these types of chips are, the better.
And I think like a lot of the naysaying of people, every time there's an individual one of these stories brought up, people are like, well, that by itself isn't enough. It's like, I know. That's why we keep talking about this.
Right. There's more.
Yeah.
There's more.
And Bobart's always standing in front of these like factories that get opened up from bills that she voted against.
Right. And actually, the investment on the company side is far more significant than like the 6.4 that we're giving to Samsung. So they got skin in the game too. We're just helping them out, making a little bit more accommodating for them to build here. And I think that's overall a win.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, let's get into in other news. So we're going to start with a pretty pretty rough story.
Okay.
Dustin sent me this one. This is in the New York Times. I had not been familiar with this.
Seems like the type of story that gets spread online that I hoped wasn't true, but I saw the New York Times.
Yeah. So a marketplace of girl influencers managed by moms and stalked by men. So what the article details is there are a number of Instagram accounts for younger girls, you know, from like 10 years old to, you know, 15, 16 years old. Instagram does have an age limit. However, if the parent runs the account, they're allowed to post these pictures. And so I worked with somebody who was like a dance mom. And I don't know if people know what that means, but essentially she had a daughter who was, her thing was dancing, right? So she would travel all over the place in dance competitions. She was in all kinds of different like troops and stuff like that. And she would always show me like videos on TikTok that she had taken. And I was like, I could be less interested. Right. I was like, this is weird.
Yeah. I can understand. So what's this happened is though, to you, is, but like, it's hard for me to like, I can't even pretend to care.
Yeah. So, but this you can care about. So what has happened over time is that as these accounts grow, and they're posting pictures of their, you know, their young children in dance competitions, gymnastics, whatever the case might be. And we know what, you know, dance uniforms look like and gymnastic uniforms look like.
Toddlers and tiaras.
They've attracted
and shit like
a bunch
that.
Of, yeah. So they've attracted a bunch of pedophiles. I'll just throw it out there. That's what it is. And these men comment on their posts like disgusting things. A lot of these accounts seem to have started in sort of an innocent way and like, oh, I just want to promote my daughter. This is her thing. You know, that way when she gets older, she'll have a social media following. So maybe it started with good intent, but it's gotten really bad.
It's and just it like seems parents like that didn't understand many, what the internet does.
Yeah. However, in many occasions, it seems like these parents became complicit. Like they are offering subscriptions with, you know, behind the scenes photos. They're doing special chats.
Like, I mean, I'm going to say it, but I know that it's not, it can't be like an OnlyFans.
Dude, it's adjacent. It's pretty, it was, this article was tough to read. The one thing I could think about was when we had Tarbell on the show and he was talking about when he was with Cybercrimes, some of the things that he has to see and watch just really fucked with him.
Something he said stuck with me was he said there's no such thing as child pornography. It's child exploitation. True. It's not pornography is pornography. And he didn't say it. I like pornography. You're right. Like, yeah, that's child exploitation. Pornography doesn't deserve this.
I mean, so the article post, what they did, which I thought was good of them, was they would post just a square, like a blank square.
That's what I saw. That's what got my attention. Go on.
So essentially this was the Instagram post, but you couldn't see the picture, which was just gray. However, you could see the caption and you could see comments. And some of these comments, like this is a 9-year-old girl. So they describe what the picture looks like, right? So this box represents a real photo of a 9-year-old girl in a golden bikini lounging on a towel.
All right, that's good.
The photo was posted on her Instagram account. You have comments like, wow, mama mia, great body.
Yeah, we're good. And it's we're good.
No, I know. Okay. But I'm just saying, like, this is horrific stuff. That's just like the first page of the article. It goes way further. It's disgusting to me. And I can't imagine as a parent that you would participate in this. And I get it if you started just, you know, because it was fun and you wanted to, you know, support.
It is intoxicating getting the likes, right? Like, and is it just people that are like weak-willed and like, oh, the likes mean so much to me? Like,
once you start to get that sort of feedback,
as a parent, right? Like, I know I don't have kids. I can't imagine what it's like. I feel like I would be like, oh, fuck. Like, that's like touching a stove and being like, okay, whatever this is, shut it fucking down. Like, that's your kid. I mean, like, you need to be protecting your child. You're exposing them.
And you know how, like, you can have a subscription based accounts on Instagram where they get exclusive content. A lot of these accounts are using that as well. So they're essentially exploiting their own children. It's a horrific story.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay. So when I saw this, like I said, this is everybody on the right saying things like this all the time. And I was like, man, from this source. So the New York Times brought that up. Like that's wow, man.
Yeah, they did a pretty deep investigation.
Yeah,
they did a really deep investigation. They even interviewed some of these people who had these accounts, and they sent a bunch of flagged posts essentially into Meta, and nothing happened.
The company
didn't do shit. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Moving on. So this is from the Washington Post. Could you judge Trump impartially? So essentially what they did is man on the street interviews with 12 different people from different sort of ethnic groups and ages and walks of life to see if people in Manhattan believed that he could get a fair trial in there.
I heard this on Buzz Burbank on Bob Seska. I heard Bob read Ava Delaney and Brandon Gossman, or I think that's how he said it. I guessed it. Did you find those two in there?
I read, you said Ava Delaney and...
So in my mind, you were going to have that ready to read. Sorry to set
I was
you
not
up
aware
too much.
Yeah, okay, I have Ava Delaney. She's a 23-year-old from the West Village. She's an actor and musician. She said, they asked her, do you think you could be an impartial juror if you were asked to serve on that jury? Her response was, so basically an unbiased voice? Question mark. I would try, honestly, but I think it would be impossible. I think there really is no alternative.
So far, like, it sounds like hard to argue with, right? Like,
yeah. She says, like, what can be argued but his faults in so many infinite things?
Wait, say that sentence. What does that mean? After the but, say those words again. But what could be argued?
Like, what can be argued but his faults in so many infinite things?
Okay. So you're starting to get the idea of a jury of your peers here. Like, that was a... I don't think I'm being picky. Like, what the fuck is she talking about? There's more.
I would say there's a pretty cross... there's people on all different sides of the aisle here.
Yeah.
I think overall, my takeaway from this...
There was way more with her.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah. Do you remember the first time you heard of him as a candidate? 2015, probably. And so I was 15 in high school and a young queer person. It was a very aggressive energy and very confusing to see how that like process happened where he got elected. It was heartbreaking at the same time.
That
for sure.
Like process happened where he got elected.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't edit.
God fucking help us, dude.
What was the second one you said?
Brandon Ghostman. Oh, he was pretty funny. He kind of sounded like me at the beginning. And then by the end, I was like, okay, yeah, this is what happens. I'm like, you guys are just like me. You'll like our show. Never mind. Don't talk to me.
Brandon Guzman, a 24-year-old, lives in Soho, and he's in banking and financial services. He was asked, can you be an impartial juror? He said, no, unfortunately, I do have a biased opinion. Okay. I think the media distorted my current perspective, and it's hard for me to gain any sort of judgment, truly. One moment I'm pro-left, the next moment I'm pro-right.
Reasonable.
It's interesting because I would really like to understand what is truth, but currently it's hard for me to trust the news that I'm getting.
Dude, like, you can't understand what is truth. Like, I understand, like, it's, you know, it takes exercising that muscle and not saying, never mind, that's difficult. Like, I'll just...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would agree.
Our listeners, because, like, I feel like we have this community of people that affirm that it's very normal to be like, no, I'm going to keep paying a fucking attention while you try to, like, fire hose me with news, but, like, and opinion and all that shit. But, yeah. It is difficult, but it's your responsibility. If you like not living under an authoritarian country or leadership government any more than we already do, that's your responsibility. Like, that's reasonable to me. Like, that's part of the deal, Wade.
Yeah, I think overall that he can get a fair trial in this case. And I think they've done a pretty good job of selecting jurors and disqualifying jurors so far. It's moved way faster than I expected. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if Trump were to lose this case, there very likely would be an appeal. Not likely, there would be an appeal. And part of the appeal would center around the jury. And so it's important they dot all the I's and cross all the T's with their interviews with these potential jurors.
All right. You know, sometimes you go to swallow and there's like a bubble in your chest and you can't just. I had a big gulp of beer and it just wasn't going down. You want to do this last one? I don't know anything about this. Oh, no, I do know something about this. I heard they had a woke appliance week the Republicans were going to do. And then they didn't.
House Republicans ridiculed into dropping appliance week. So there was a plan in the House Republican caucus to present an entire week's worth of bills around appliances. So things like air conditioners, refrigerators, dishwashers.
They're turning the frogs gay. These goddamn refrigerators are making our kids queer.
They were going to try to actually introduce bills, legislation to deal with some of the stuff. Most of it was just, you know, BS. Anyways, so they got a lot of flack for that because of everything else happening. For instance, Iran firing missiles and drones into Israel.
Yeah, you've seen the chart of how many things that this Congress has passed. And you're like, okay, you're going to make up some lost ground on this?
Yeah. There were six bills, washing machines, refrigerators, air conditioners, et cetera. So.
Do you have the names of some of them? I thought that's what your bullet points were. I didn't look at your bullet points.
Oh, no. My bullet points were somebody posted, I think it was on The Hill or something. It was like an opinion piece where they made fun of this.
Uh-huh.
And so they came up with some names of the bills that were pretty funny, like the Hampering Progress Act or the Free and Liberate the United States States House Act. So FLUSH is the acronym there.
Okay, I get it.
Stop Ousted American Presidents. So that's STOP Act. Toilet Regulation and Unqualified Master Plumber Act.
Okay. Oh, Trump.
Make Gas Stoves Great Again.
Okay, I get that one, yeah.
Let Roombas Roam Free.
Okay, that's fun.
Don't touch my Dyson.
Yeah, hands off my Dyson.
Yeah.
Fair enough. Don't touch my Dyson.
I mean, can we get any more ridiculous?
Well, I'm glad that they were shamed into not doing this.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Although it would have been kind of amusing to see them
try. It would have been fun if they did that while we're like, now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ran in Israel at war, and you're doing this now. You're laughing. Yeah, let's get into media. What have you been watching, buddy?
All right. So I checked out Sugar, which is on Apple TV.
You have Apple TV? Did you get this from Tim?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. Starring Colin Farrell and Clive Owen. It's essentially a modern day film noir series. And you know me, I'm a sucker for film noir. They do a lot of like old timey film noir things. Like the detective will do like a voiceover as he's like walking down the street, that kind of thing.
Is it a series or a movie?
It's a series.
They got Clive Owen and Colin Farrell in a series.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm only, I think, 2 episodes in. There's still more episodes coming out, but I really like it. I went on the web to look for some reviews to see what people were thinking. And actually, overall, it got really, really good reviews. However, there was one review.
I love
one star review.
This is a new wrinkle to the media diet.
So I wanted to read this video or this review to you. Do not watch this show and keep your children from watching this show. Unfortunately, because Apple's CEO is homosexual.
What?
Every Apple show and film now includes homosexuality.
Oh, because
all the other varieties of those people who choose other than the norm.
Variety of those people.
It's time Hollywood stops forcing these storylines on those people who are straight and normal. What the fuck?
There's no editing the comment section. There's no point in looking at that. That's really fun. We should do that more often. Do you remember James Fritz's thing about YouTube music comment section? Describe it.
So you look at the like whatever the top comment is, and it's always like, my dad died to this song or something like that.
Yeah. My dad died and this was his favorite song. Like no matter what the song is, no matter what, that's the top comment is. That's and it gets 1,000 because it gets 1,000,000 likes. Like people are like, oh my God, you're right. That's so touching. Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty bad, dude. I watched Arizona. Nameless recommended it. He's like, look, dude, it's a dark comedy with an emphasis on dark. But like I think it kind of slipped out under the radar, and I'd never heard of it. It came out in 2018.
So it's not Raising Arizona with Nicolas Cage.
Right. It's Arizona. It's on Hulu. It's a dark comedy with Seth Rogen and Danny McBride. Danny McBride and Seth Rogen get into a fight on it.
They
love fighting each other. That's like all they do in every movie is fight each other. So anytime there's a Seth Rogen and Danny McBride fight, that's like that makes me happy. And you know Danny McBride, he's from Eastbound and Down. And a million of other things. I don't know why I have to go with like this oldest reference, but D is in it from Sunny in Philadelphia. And I would say the only drawback in this movie is there is a dog scene, and you know, dog scenes can go. Have you watched Fallout yet?
No, it's on my list. I'll have watched it by next show.
We finished it last night. You'll finish it in at least a week.
It's good.
Yeah, it is good. Yeah, it's really good. I didn't know. So like the game Fallout was very, very, very silly until it really wasn't. Like, and then it was really not silly. And, you know, in a video game, that feels normal, right? Because it's like you're controlling a character. You're going to interact with someone. They're a non-player character. Like that's just kind of the way narratives go in video games. There's cutscenes. It's not like the best cinematography. It's fine, you know. So all of those things in a movie, all of a sudden there's like these small interactions in the game that are like, but this person has this backstory now. And so I didn't know how they would do that, especially because they did such a good job with The Last of Us. So I didn't tell Natasha that it was based off a video game.
So she had no idea.
She had no idea. She was like, this is pretty good. And at the end of the first episode, I was like, okay, there's something you need to know. I'm not trying to keep a secret from you. I didn't know if you'd want to watch a new series if I told you it was based off a video game. And so when I told her that, she's like, that makes sense. Because there's a part where it's like, people get injured and then they just jab them with a needle and you're like, okay, I'm good now. You know, like eat a health pack type thing.
Right, right.
But that's a good shot for people who like the game because they open up a little like box and there's, you know, like some stuffing and like a syringe and you're like, that's how that looks. And, you know,
right,
you
right. use that. Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The plot's great. They intertwine all the different Fallout games into one sort of like, you know how in, it's in a lot of stuff, but in like Game of Thrones did a good job at it. There's things that take place that don't connect with each other and you're just watching a bunch of different, like totally different storylines and then mm-hmm. they start to connect and then I won't ruin
it. At the end, it's kind of all tied.
Yeah, yeah. So they have effectively by the end of the first season set up the landscape for all of the games enough that they can start building into all of the games. And the storylines nice. From the games. Yeah. And it's really good. And they even do it in a way where it like overlaps universe. Within one story arc where it's like, well, you know, in this game, it's this, but is this one, it's this. And you've got that all going on in one episode. It's good. It's really, really good. But you should know it's a video game. Otherwise, like some of those, the campiness won't make. Also, there's a dog in it. Famously, there's a dog in Fallout. It's not as bad as in Arizona. I still recommend Arizona. Great recommendation from Nameless. I want to go back and just be clear. I think I'd give that a 4 out of 5. It's
okay.
It'll bother you at times, or it'll be like not quite campy, but you're like, what the fuck? In a way where you're like, well, it's a dark comedy. Like, what were you expecting to happen there? Like, you know. Arizona is really good on Hulu and on Amazon. If you're already paying for Amazon Prime, you should be watching entertaining TV there as opposed to what, How I Met Your Mother or something. I hear that's a good show. I hear that's a good show.
The Big Bang Theory.
I meant to say Big Bang Theory. I get those two conflated. part of the actors in this, one thing that's great about Fallout is they cast a bunch of comics in it. So people have good timing. Pemberton is in it. Johnny Pemberton, he's been on Brido's show. How wild is that?
Nice.
Yeah. He's like a main character in it. But Walton Goggins is in it. Walton Goggins was Baby Billy in the Righteous Gemstones, and he's been in a bunch of other things. I will say, in the Righteous Gemstones, Walton Goggins' perfect teeth work because he's like a televangelist. But in a post-apocalyptic future, his perfect teeth are a little off-putting.
They seem too nice.
Especially with his specific character, which I won't spoil. Hey, what do you say we get into our newest game brought to us by Young Thrash Lad?
Oh, Kakalaki or Wacky?
Yes, it's... or Wacky. We've got our Kakalaki, or we got a couple more North Carolina facts brought to us by Young Thrash Lad. Right. So I'm going to try not to ruin this for myself either. I'm just going to highlight until I think I see the last word. Okay, great. Let me part the kimono for you, Alan. There you go. Go ahead and read it.
North Carolina once made the Randy Travis song Deeper Than the Holler a required part of the music curriculum. Of course I've heard it. He says, if Alan has not heard it, you must force him to listen. Of course I know that song.
Oh, I think he might have tipped his hat as to whether that's true or not by insisting that you know. Yeah, whether
so two are Kakalaki, right? One is not.
Yes, one is made up. You know I'm bad at this, Alan. This is the part of my brain that can't say fiction or nonfiction.
Wilmington, North Carolina was the site of the only successful coup in American history in 1898, the leader of which, Charles Aycock, later went on to become governor.
What?
Okay.
1898? That's really recent in terms of coups. Post-Civil War.
Babe Ruth hit his first home run of his career in Fayetteville, North Carolina, in March of 1914.
So 1914 is early. So that was probably his first minor league home run. That probably wasn't March. Playing for the Braves or was it the Red Sox? It was the Red Sox, whatever Boston team before he went to the Yankees.
So I definitely think the first one is Kakalaki. Oh, man, I can't.
Why do you think the first one is? You think that one's true?
Yeah, that just sounds like.
I know, but like, it sounds like it. But then he's like, if Alan doesn't know this song, I fucking love this song. Like, it sounds like he wants that one to be true.
Yeah.
I'm going to go false on the first one for me.
Okay.
But just for the record, I'm only good at picking up the context of things and being like, I don't know if I trust that. I'm not that good at saying, well, technically because of this thing. Well, I'm going to do that too. site of the only successful coup. Well, that kind of sounds made up too.
It does. And I've never heard of that. Not that I necessarily would have.
But it's a local coup.
Yeah, yeah. And then Babe Ruth hit his first home run.
I just feel like 1898's late for an American coup. Teddy Roosevelt was president, right?
All right, so I'm gonna say
no.
The coup is the whack.
Which one?
The coup number two is the wrong one.
Number two is the wacky.
Yeah. So one and three are cackalacky.
If it says true, does that mean you're wrong?
Oh, okay.
I love it when yes. You're wrong. Hell yeah. Okay, so let's do this last one and see if it's true or not. Babe Ruth did hit his first home run in Fayetteville.
The first one was wrong.
That means I'm right.
You were right.
My dumb ass to check which one was right, I put false down on the sheet of paper. That's how I proved it. I didn't say number one, number two, or number three. I wrote down false.
Dude, thrash. Wow. These are tough, man.
Yeah, these are good. Hey, if you could do another one, we'd appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Otherwise, we'll go to Trout or Doubt. You know, we can always go over to Trout or Doubt.
That always sounds fun.
Speaking of animal facts, you want to hear a little funny animal fact? Wait, were we going to go out with a song?
Yeah.
Didn't I say that? Did I put it down there?
We can still do the animal fact before we do that.
Oh, okay. Good idea. What animal was dropped? What animal was parachuted in by volume? Like what animal was in large quantities parachuted into the Utah or Idaho? Let me double check. It's important we know which one.
Parachuted.
Into rural Idaho. I think it was rural Utah. Rural Utah.
When?
Which animal was parachuted in to rural Utah in the 1940s? So we just finished World War II. We're like, well, we're lousy with parachutes. That's actually part of the story. They're like, we just conquered Europe. We could, you know, conquer rural Utah. We got a bunch of parachutes. What else are we gonna do with them? Let's put this animal into, I'll give you a hint, a wicker cage. No, initially they used a wicker cage, but that turned to be problematic. They ended up using a spring method so that when the cage hit the ground, it opened the door and the animal would run free. Which animal was parachuted into rural Utah in the 1940s?
I'm thinking wolves, but I'm sure that's wrong.
But you're on the right track in terms, it's one of those, like, these are keystone animals in an ecosystem where if you, like, so what animal do you think had, by the 1940s, had their population hunted so much that they were in decline and it wasn't wolves?
Buffalo? That would be funny.
The parachute for that. Beavers.
Beavers.
Yeah.
Beavers.
Because you forget, like, most like Western hats, it's a beaver pelt, but they shaved it. They shaved the beaver, Alan. It's trimmed. And it's just bare skin. You know, it's bare beaver skin.
Right.
Yeah. So they dropped a shitload of beavers at there to, like, you know, recreate dams and all of that stuff. And it's hilarious because they did all these tests to do it. And at first they put them in wicker baskets so they could chew through it because that's what beavers do. But the problem is when you load a bunch of beavers onto the, first you put them into a basket and then you put another one in a basket and another one in a basket and you get them all, then you put them all on a plane and then you fly the plane up there. By the time you've done that, the first one's already chewed out of its cage and it's chewing on the other guy's cage. So it's just, a whole fiasco. Then you got to just open the door, let all those fall to the ground. So God. What are you going to land with a bunch of beavers in your plane? Like they're wild in the fuselage. Like they're going to get up to you. So eventually they created like a spring method where it hit the ground and opened the door and the beaver ran out and they had like ecologists and game wardens waiting where it landed and catching it as soon as it did. And by the time it got done, by the time they did that enough to prove that it would work, when they did it the first time for real, the beaver was like, no, I know what's going to happen. Like you're just going to grab me and put me back in the cage. But they had included like three female beavers for every male beaver. And, on the first, well, cause you know, they're trying to repopulate. So, when they first did it with the first one, he like stayed in the cage and like didn't leave right away. He's like, all right, I don't see any game wardens, like Groundhog Day, right? Like, oh, I don't see my shadow. Beaver Hog Day. And then the only other little tip in I have on that was that, one other factoid on the beaver side of that. Somehow a beaver made it out of the cage because it was a bunch of them. It was a bunch of these cages. No, in air, and they like spotted this, and they tracked him because they were you know, they had a bunch of people watching to see if it was successful or not, right? So they had noticed a beaver made it out of its cage and rode it from the top, like this beaver. Nobody was going to ever believe him again. Like, you're not going to believe him, man. You can fly. He waited, though, until he was 75 feet off the ground, and then he jumped to his death.
Oh, God. That was some X Games shit right there. That's hilarious.
I don't know if this is really a kicker, but I have to because I have a compulsion. They tried something similar to this. They parachuted 14,000 cats into rural Malaysia. Because the British had sprayed DDT, which killed the mosquitoes, which killed the lizards, which killed the animals that ate the lizards. And before you knew it, there were no rats because it killed the cats. And the cats ate something. The cats ate the lizards, and then the cats died. So there were no more cats. So they parachuted cats into Malaysia so that they could kill the rat population that had gotten out of control. And 14,000 cats. Just, I don't think they put more than one cat into a box at the same time. Like, that's a bunch of individual. Or they just threw them, right? Just like, meow, meow, meow.
They did that same sort of thing on something. I think it was called Rat Island, where they
parachuted cats.
Yeah, they imported a bunch of cats. I think it was just by boat. But what they didn't anticipate was not only did they kill all the rats, they killed all the birds. So they killed like 20,000 birds.
Too many birds. Wow.
Too many birds.
Oh, man. Man, this don't got nothing to do with shit. But this has been – I've always wanted to play this on the show. This does have something to do with shit. This has to do with – it doesn't have to do with cats or beavers. I can tell you that much. There's a Kris Kristofferson song called Beat the Devil. And I'm going to try to anticipate. Oh, wait, maybe I made a note of where the lyrics should come in at. No, I don't think I did.
2:45.
Thanks. So Kris Kristofferson, if you're not familiar with his style, he's got this style of like sort of talking the lyrics at you. Like, here's an example.
I meant beer. He nodded at my guitar and said, it's a tough life, ain't it?
You've been checking my mail. So it's mostly that. But then when it finally gets into the song, the lyrics are, and I hate to be this conceited, but it's what we try to do. So it's like, it describes what we're fighting against, where we're like, look, are you going to just like talk to yourself and hope that the people that won't listen someday notice? Well, and it's like, it doesn't matter. It's like a compulsion that I have to do. And it's just a pleasure that so many people are willing to listen to us and be like, well, most people I meet also aren't like that. It's right. Nice to have a community where we can all hang out at. I'm doing a bad Absolutely. Job at it, but you know what? I'm probably doing a fine job. It's just my relentless self-doubt. Let me play.
You're doing fine, man.
I'm doing fine. Okay.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to play this ever since we've been doing the show and I heard this song again. So let's play the last minute and a half of this, and I think that'll be a show. So before then, cheers, buddy.
Cheers. It was fun.
It's been fun. Drive safe.
Yeah. There were other lonely singers in a world turned deaf and blind who were crucified for what they tried to show. And their voices have been scattered by the swirling winds of time, 'cause the truth remains that no one wants to know. Well, the old man was a stranger, but I'd heard his song before, back when failure had me locked out on the wrong side of the door, when no one stood behind me but my shadow on the floor. And lonesome was more than a state of mind. You see, the devil haunts a hungry man. If you don't want to join him, you gotta beat him. I ain't saying I beat the devil, but I drank his beer for nothing. Then I stole his song. And you still can hear me singing to the people who don't listen to the things that I am saying, praying someone's gonna hear. And I guess I'll die explaining how the things that they complain about are things they could change, hoping someone's gonna care. I was born a lonely singer, and I'm bound to die the same. But I've got to feed the hunger in my soul. And if I never have a nickel, I won't ever die ashamed. 'Cause I don't believe that no one wants to know.
When a guy's banging you,
y'all let me in his damn house.
Oh, how about that?
Come in the name of peace.
LMFAO.
So what in the world is this?
Is Kevin McCarthy a moron, and if so, why?
Why would you say something that stupid?
I come without explanations or solutions.
I'm a very sexy lady.
Cat turd.
I will not suffer this harlot.
How great, an anti-American Marxist.
Ted Cruz, go fuck yourself.
Read the news.
China is asshole.
God bless the United States.
Now this is podcasting.